Good morning. I am so thankful for his presence. Are you not, church? Amen. Please turn with me. About 2 months ago, I was listening to Pastor Bob in one of his tapes, and he was talking about John 15 and the context of that. And as I was reading with him in the church and going through the verses with him, I will be looking at John 15 this morning, verse 11. As I was reading it, God birthed within me and pulled out amongst the text. Have you had God do that where all of a sudden just something comes alive? And he emphasized, in fact, I stopped the tape and I said, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? So what I want you to know is what God has been giving me and the word he gave me for the youth and what I have today and tonight. It has been birthed in me and I'm eating it and living it and working it out. So you know what that means? That probably next month we'll have more. So please understand that this is something that's been germinating in me and God's living. And I'm the kind of person that if I can't eat it and make it practical, I have nothing to say. So it's something I'm eating in my own life and I'm trying to apply in my own life. So we're in this together, okay? And 15:11 was the verse that he highlighted for me. And I would like to start there this morning and go with what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning. And this was a word God had given me actually for the youth and birthed it and then opened up for me how to apply it in their situations. John 15:11 said, I have told you these things. Oh, it says this in here, huh? This. In this translation, right? I have told you this. In my translation, it says these things. Anyone have that in your? Okay. In your translation, mine says these things. And my first question was, what things? What things did you say that brings the following? So that what? My joy may be in you and that what? Full. Now, Pastor Lisa, will you stand and explain full to us what full means?
We learned at the convention of Anaheim from Jack Hayford that the full sense of the Greek word full is like if I were to fill a glass, I'm giving you a glass of iced tea, it might be that up to the top, but I'd be giving you a full glass. And we think we got a full glass of tea. The sense of the Greek is that it's full to the tippy top, and he took a picture and he's just dripping water on the carpet to explain full and the Greek sense that it's too overflowing.
So now he says, these things I've told you so that you may have my joy and that what? May be full. So besides the these things, which we'll look at maybe later, I looked at myself and I thought, Lord, am I full of joy? And I realized I'm full. But I'm not full of joy. So I was challenged to look at my life and say, why? Why do I not have Christ's joy? And full means it's running over. It's just not this little cup and once in a while I go, hee-hee. It is flowing over, bubbling up and flowing over in my life. Wouldn't you love to be around a person like that? Oh, me too. But what are we around? Sourpusses. I being one of them. And I challenged myself. I said, okay, Lord, this is a promise. Yes or no? Yes, I want it. And I want to be full. I don't care if it takes eternity. I want to be full. So he said to me, what are you full of? Because you got to get that out so I can come in. So I started looking at Scripture, and I'm not going to look at them with you. I'm going to read off some of the things the Scripture says we can be full of. Okay, now this is biblical. We can be full of fear, murder, deceit, darkness, wrath, jealousy, troubles, covetousness, our own way, pain, bitterness. But we can also be full, and there's more. I just gave you the highlight on that. And the good is Holy Spirit, God, wisdom, strength, power, faith, knowledge, comfort, compassion. So I say, okay, God, I want to know what these things are, because obviously I don't have these things operating effectively in my life, because I am not bubbling over. There's a song that's like that for the kids, isn't it? Bubbling. Yes or no? What is it? Yes, yeah, so you know it. Yes. Where did that go? It's called life. It's called marriage. It's called work. And we don't know how to come from our prayer closet where we have a good time with God, or this morning have a great time, and go home and face the stuff. Well, I want to face the stuff with a joy that remains. Cannot be affected by my circumstances, and I don't have it yet. So, in John 15:11 was that verse, the these things, there's four of them. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, the four things that are these things. Number one is context. This verse is in context to the last discourse Jesus gave before he died. It is chapter 14-17. So, which means I've got to start with chapter 14 to find these things. Now, he said this to his disciples. This was not said to the masses. And I believe this is a word to the church within the church. Because the days are coming when it hits. Would you not like to be around someone full of joy? Instead of full of troubles and woes and pains and things are going on and we're in affliction. We can be in affliction, but I want to be full of joy in it. I want to get there. So the first these things was, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And he goes on to say, and that place is, I'm going to bring the Father inside you, and you will become that place. So the first thing is, having Christ bring the Father. And what the kids and I looked at this weekend was Father. How many of you had a healthy father? So when you think of the word father, you go, wow, comforting and wonderful and strong and disciplined healthfully and was never abusive. The reality was, one of the definitions of father's character is slow to anger. Well, I didn't have a father who was slow to anger. I had one who was quick to anger, quick to be this way, quick to be that way. And I had concepts of Father in my mind that when I thought of Father God, I automatically, I'm going to give you one because that's not my lesson today. One of them was, my father was the kind of person, if something happened in the house, one particular thing happened, and I honestly don't remember what it was because I was really little. Let's say a vase broke. He didn't know who did it. And none of us were saying. And there was three of us. Now, I knew I hadn't. So out of the three, I was the innocent one and someone else. But we didn't know who, because no one's talking. And if I had seen who had done it, I would have snitched. Why? Because my dad was the kind of dad that if no one talked, we all got it. So we're all spanked. Isn't this fun? So what is my idea of God? I'm not standing around anyone sinning. Because if you get it, that means it's going to hit me too. I had a concept of God of unjust. He wasn't just. We can go on and on this morning, but that isn't the point. The point is, my joy wasn't full because I had a concept of my father who was unapproachable. I didn't want him to come and live inside me because that was not good news. That was not a positive to me. The number two is, which we're going to look at today, is about prayer. If you ask, and we'll look at those scriptures. Number two is prayer. Number three is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, the key to this is obedience out of love. Not obedience because you have to. Not legalism. How much of our obedience, and I challenge the kids, and we spent a whole session on obedience. There's three kinds of obedience. We looked at them. But the key was, the final one is obeying because you love. How many of us obey on our jobs because we love the Lord? We're there because it delights Him and it pleases Him. How many of us obey our spouse because we love them? How many of us children obey our parents because we think, thank God my parents are parents and I love them and of course I'll take out the trash. So we worked on that this weekend, looked at our hearts, looked at our motives. And the last one is, he talked about, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a helper who'll come inside you. We're going to look at that one tonight, because the only way we can fulfill the four that God spoke to us today is that the Spirit of God within us changes us from the old Adam to the new Adam, because the old Adam will have abortions. The old Adam will have sexual sin. The old Adam will have pornography. The old Adam will do worse than the four listed there, because it doesn't know how not to sin. And we need to help our kids bring the change of the first to the second and teach them how to walk that out, how to listen to the internal cop and have the Spirit of God grow within them so that it is a power in their lives. All right, this morning we're going to look at prayer. Answered prayer brings joy. Let's look at John 16, 24. He said, 22, the present, you're going to have sorrow, but your hearts will rejoice, verse 22, and no one can take away your joy. Let me see what this one says. Where are you? 22. Is that 22? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Rejoice. No one can take your joy from you. Time's coming. You'll ask nothing of me. I assure you most solemnly I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name, as representing all that I am. Up to this time, you've not asked a single thing in my name. But now ask. Keep on asking. You'll receive. So that what? Answer prayer should bring joy. Now, how we have lost our joy because we don't think God answers prayer. When God birthed this in me, the first thing the Lord said to me about our children is, He said to me, they've stopped praying because they have prayed and not known how to see God's answer. They've not known how to see what God did. I'll give you an example about something that happened with me when Daniel, who's now going to be 21, he was about 4, 5, 6 years old. I was in my car driving down the street minding my own business, and Daniel was in the car with me, and we're going down the street, and a guy cuts in front of me and, of course, slams on his brakes. So what do I have to do? Stop. Or at least slow down. Well, I had the kind of car that I did not know. If you hit the brakes, and mine did. And there I was. Not only did they lock, but my car started the spin. And we're now heading into ongoing traffic. And the only thing I could get out of my mouth was, Jesus! And I'm screaming that as the car's going down the street. Now it's still moving. And next thing I know, we're going this way. And now I'm heading, actually on the road, going this way. And I'm fine. And I said to Daniel, that was the hand of God. And he said, where? Are we not? God moving all the time in our circumstances, and we don't know how to hear Him. A story was told to me about a girl. A sister was telling me about her brother. And Dad was coming, and they were afraid of Dad. So the sister told me that the brother hid under the bed. And Dad came in the room looking and said, where is he? And the sister lied and said, outside. Well, he didn't believe her, and he started pacing. Now, I'm hearing it from the man, the little boy, who's now high schooler, and said, I saw my dad's feet walking back and forth, and then I saw Dad's hand come to lift up the skirt of the bed. to look under. And who is under the bed? Then the phone rings. Dad drops the skirt and leaves the room. And I said to this little girl, sister, I said, your brother just saw God move. Never knew it. No one had ever told him that that was the hand of God. God sent that phone call. Church, we have lost the ability to see our God in our circumstances. If I were to pray as a kid, my dad is an angry dad, Lord, and I'm asking you to change his anger. And then he sees Dad angry. Now the child does not know how to see that Dad is now only 6 days angry instead of 7. Hallelujah! We're growing. He didn't know how to see that. We have to help. The scripture tells us, and I want to look at it. Job 33. Scripture tells us 5 ways God speaks. Job 33 verse 14 starts it. 33. I also want to say that another reason we stop praying is we don't know how to hear him. We don't know him talking to us. And if I have time this morning, I'm going to talk briefly on that. Job 33. If not, I will cover it tonight. Job 33, verse 14. For God, does reveal his will. He speaks not only once, but more than once, even though men do not regard it. Right? He's speaking. That you and I have like this, la 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 la, or you and I have itching ears that we are not hearing him say no because we want to hear yes. We don't want to hear wait. We don't want to hear, well, I'm working on it, or I'm changing you so that you can receive the answer. We don't know how to hear that. We just have our set way. I have prayed a certain way, God, because, of course, I'm praying in tongues when I did it. So, therefore, you are required to answer. Because you said, if I ask anything in your name. Now, we forgot. In your name means in your character. It means in what you're thinking. Oh, what is God thinking about Dad? Maybe God isn't dealing with Dad's anger. Maybe God is dealing with something else. See, we don't think to ask. He said you don't ask. Or we ask amiss. We're not in his character. We're not thinking. Our children need to be trained to find out, God, this is going on in my home. This is it. My parents just had a fight. How do I pray? Show me how to intercede for my dad. Show me how to intercede for my mother. Now that prayer will answer. He'll start stirring within him. The Spirit of God comes to our help. We need to start teaching them to listen to that Spirit within them. He wants to talk to them, but we've taught them to pray pat prayers. Of course God wants them to stop fighting, but he's got to change the fighter in them to stop. You remember this? I'm going back. You do know the story that was in Forrest Gump, the movie? Where the little girl who was being sexually abused by her father was out in the cornfield with Gump. And the birds flew out of the cornfield and flew away. And she looked up and said to God, God, make me a bird so I can fly away from here. Now, that's asking amiss. Is God going to make her a bird? No, but watching the movie, because I kept saying, Lord, I know you are God who hears every prayer. Your word says it. I believe it. Do you? I do. You're God who sees everything. I believe that. So I'm watching the movie saying, okay, God, how did you answer that prayer? I was hoping the movie showed it. You know how Hollywood is. So I'm watching. Next thing you know, there's a scene where the welfare department comes and removes her from the home. That was God's answer. Now, if Forrest had known how to see God and see how God moves, he would have said to her, God answered your prayer. Her joy would have been restored. Because it wasn't, she became a prostitute the rest of her life. Would you hate God? I'd hate God. Why pray? What's the point? He doesn't answer. I don't know. He's busy doing who knows what. But he doesn't care about me. We've all felt it. We all sit there. We're screaming at Jesus who's asleep in the boat we think he is. He was totally awake, church, even though asleep. Because he's an all-knowing God. He knows everything about us. He's all-seeing. We don't believe it. If he's all-knowing, he knows exactly what he's doing in your life. He knows exactly why you're doing what you're doing. I don't have a clue. But I'll tell you something, church. One of the things he said to me about this body, we're very judgmental. We already know because I've seen it. Oh, yeah, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Well, you know how they are. You do not. Are you God and all-seeing and all-knowing? Last time I checked, that's not your name, omniscient. Is it? How many here are omniscient? How many of you are, what is it, omnipresent? What's the all-seeing? I'm not all-seeing. I don't have a clue. That's why God said to Job, Job, I'm going to show you my animal kingdom. I'm going to show you the creation. You got any control over that? Do you have a clue what's going on? And then he said to Job, Job, there's the proud man. Can you change him? There's the wicked man. Can you change him? Hey, I can see stuff with you, but I have the power to change you. Will my judgment change you? You and I don't want to tell one another how to pray because we don't want your stuff. I don't want what you think. The Lord said to me this morning, he said, Diane, I don't want you not only not leaning on your understanding, I want your mind renewed. You're thinking stinking. Give you an idea. I am going back here. Michelle and Wayne had a fight. Dad's screaming, yelling at her. She's hanging in pretty good. She's doing pretty good, but she's wearing down, and here we go. And he leaves, she leaves. I'm sitting there. Of course, I know what to pray for. So I start praying. I said to the Lord, I repent for Wayne. He's angry. He's got a problem in his life with anger. Now, I want ears to hear what he's saying instead of what Diane's saying. And you know what he said to me? I'm not dealing with that yet. I say, why not? It's bothering my life, making her miserable. I don't like seeing her miserable. I want to rescue my kids from an angry person. That's a mother's role. Last time I checked, my name isn't Jesus, but I still think I have to rescue everyone. So I said to him, why not? See, prayer is dialogue. Prayer's relationship. He wants you to know what's going on. He wants you to know his heart. And I said, why? And he said, I'm not finished using it for you. Oh, now we're in my business. I didn't want to talk about my business. I was self-righteously praying for these people who needed God. And I was the sinner in my judgment and self-righteousness. And I had the sin of unbelief. I didn't believe God could take care of it. He needed my help. All right, where are we, verse? He speaks to us 15 how? In a dream. I challenge you parents to start talking to your children about their dreams. God might use their dreams to speak to them. They also come from pizza and from Satan, so you can discern them. He speaks in a vision. Wouldn't you love to see your children start getting visions? It says it's prophesied in the New Testament. Your children will what? You got children? Okay. Verse 16 and 17. He what? Why does God have to open our ears? Because we got them stuffed up and crammed with lots of stuff. Earwax. In fact, it says in Hebrews, you are dull of hearing. You've gotten lazy. You stopped listening. You have a concept of me that I'm not going to answer anyway, so why bother? But I pray often, God, open my ears, because unless you open my ears, I cannot hear you. Once you think you can hear, you're dead. It's a constant dependency. Constantly touch my eyes, Lord. I don't see till you show me what's going on. I don't hear. But I'll tell you, I thought I saw very clearly that situation with Wayne and Michelle, and I didn't have a clue what I saw. I was judgmental and self-righteous. Are we not, church? I need you. What did Wayne need from me right then, Michelle? They needed me touching God and finding out what God was doing and how to intercede effectively for them. Don't you want that? We're to love others. Do unto others. How? As you want to be done unto. We don't have a clue what that means. How do I want to be treated? I want you interceding for me when you see me fall flat on my face. When you see my children making mistakes instead of, I knew that's how they were raising. See, they don't spank in that home. And that's what happens when you don't spank. Well, I knew that was going to come because so-and-so and so-and-so. I knew that. God showed me. Honey, if God showed you, he was calling you to prayer, not to gossip. There's a reason to see. He wants you to pray and intercede. 19 to 22. Give me 19 and 22. Verse 19 to 22. Thank you. God's voice may be heard when God what? Chastens. Don't you love it? One of the things we have to deal with Father is they didn't chasten like God does. Job was chastened by the Lord, but he had not sinned. God was training him, was teaching him. And Job could say, I knew how to hear you, but now I see you. I have a fresh revelation of my God. We need a fresh revelation of who he is. We sang it today, Almighty. We talked about the warrior. You don't have a clue for your own life. He's not ruling your homes. He's not ruling your nature. If he was, we'd be full and overflowing. Hey, I've been practicing this. I want to be full. I woke up this morning and I said, Lord, I'm full. I'm full of tired. I don't want to get up. But I want to be full of your joy. And I want it bubbling up. You define God's joy. It's not what the world gives. Trust me. But it's a bubbling that happens inside you. There's an exuberancy that happens, and you start getting excited. Have a clue what he's going to do. Wayne came home, and he said, well, I think I won't have any job tomorrow. What's bubbling? Fear? Unbelief? Ah! What's bubbling? I want that Spirit of God bubbling. To say, God, you're in charge, and I'm going to stand in front of this Red Sea, and I'm going to rejoice in front of the Red Sea. Hallelujah. I got in my car, put my tape on, and I started screaming at the top of my lungs how mighty my God was. Because I knew he was in charge, not Wayne. I came home, and Wayne said, well, I called this, this, and this, and this, and I now have this, and this, and this, and God's going to provide. Wow! What a novel thought! He's still on the throne, and Wayne isn't. I want to see my God move. Do you? I want to get excited because we're not, because our prayer life stinks if you do it all. I want to start getting in charge with what he's doing. I want to get in touch with him. I want to see the situation as he sees it, not as Diane sees it or as Wayne sees it. Chastening, 23. He sends a messenger. He sends someone to help us. God is sending a youth pastor to help these kids, the helpers to come alongside and help them see their God, to give them understanding when something happens with mom and dad, and to get God's vision, get God was doing about it so they are restored to their God. This is all about God, church. This is all about relationship and knowing the God we sing about. That Satan is more powerful right now to our children than God is. They see him in charge, not God. I want that turned around, church. And they need messengers, godly messengers. There were four people that sat on that ash heap with Job. Four of them. Three came up talking the stuff. One came forth with the breath of God and turned God, Job, back to his God. He opened his eyes to see Almighty God. He opened his eyes to see a God who is just and righteous. He brought the character of God back to Job. But you can't give what you don't have. If you've got a small God, what are you going to give your children? Small God. I put God in the box and I still do. But I want him breaking out. I want to get out of my understanding and say, Jesus, I want to learn how to have a relationship with you. It's called prayer. When we walk together, I don't care what I hear from so-and-so. I don't want to be around a negative person anymore. I want someone who wants to find God in this. Don't tell me what's wrong. Tell me what he wants to do about it. Is the Almighty, can his right hand come in and bring the victory? I'll tell you, I watched him part the Red Sea. I don't know what's going to happen today. I come home and we lose everything. I don't own anything. How can I lose it? How many kids were here this weekend that are here? Because I have to repent to you. Don't you love it? I have to repent to you. You remember when I talked about Bill Gates? Do you remember that? And we were talking about agape love and God's love. And I said, Bill Gates gave his money, but it will not be accredited to him because he was not motivated out of love into that obedience. Right? You remember, kids, when I said that? Okay. This morning, God got me. He said, he was my servant. Yes, sir. And he said, I used him to give that money. But I also am going to judge him because when he gave the money, he said, my power, my brains, my company, I have the power to get wealth. And he took the credit to himself. And I will judge it. And he said to me, you sinned. And I said, how did I sin? He said, you used a scripture to validate your jealousy. I said, my jealousy. I said, you're right. I am jealous of Bill Gates because I would like to have billions to give for the kingdom. That was true. That was my motive for saying what I said. I want to continue being changed so that I have more. Yes! So I said, yes, sir. Painful? Yes. I'm crying my eyes out in my bedroom. I didn't want to go to Burden Bears, but I had a divine encounter this morning in my visit. I'm crying. Yes, I judged him. Yes. And the Lord said to me, if I gave you his money, you would use it. And he told me exactly what I would say. God's given me this money. He wants me to give it away. Okay, God, where do I give it away? Show me where. He said, it isn't your money. It's my money. Oh, you can't give it away unless I tell you you can. Oh, see, I think God gives money so you can. I was taught by one of my mentors, you have to let the money flow. You can't hold it, can't sit, you got to let it flow. So I was going to what? Let it flow. And I said, oh. And I thought, I wouldn't let anyone know I had $1 million because what would they say? What are you doing for the kingdom? And I have this project, and I have this project, and maybe we can go into business together, and there we go. And I would be judged because I let it sit in the bank. And then I would hear what parable? Oh, the talents! You are letting that money sit in the bank, and when your beloved comes, he's going to say to you, oh, wicked steward. Are we great comforters? I want to have someone come alongside me and say, Diane, I can see why you're not spending. God hasn't told you yet, has he? Wouldn't that comfort you? Wouldn't that go, yes, it's true. And I'd glom onto that person and say, yes, yes. And pray with me that I can hear him when he says it. And that I can give it in such a way my right hand doesn't know what my left hand is doing. I don't have that kind of money. Why? I'm not ready for it. He wants to give it, church, but you and I would even spend it on good things instead of the Spirit of God leading and directing us. We need to repent because we have boxed our God into being a small God. I don't want him small anymore. I want a God to continue to open my eyes to see what he sees about you. What he sees about my children. What he sees about my job situation. What he sees about whatever. Praying for the kids this week, and it was a privilege for the kids that were here. A delight. You have delightful children. But I wanted to go past what I see and see the heart that they have that pants after God, and yet see the issues that are keeping that panting after God from being expressed and walking out, so that we can come alongside as true messengers of Almighty God and help them so they can walk the very desire they have to fulfill the word God gave them today. It's a serious word God gave us today. I take it seriously, but I want to set these children free so that it will be not an issue at all. Lord Jesus, we come before you as truly Almighty God. And Lord, we repent to you because we have been full of unbelief, our own visions, our own understanding. We have boxed you in, and we have not been full of joy. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are such a loving, you are full of compassion. I thank you for your mercy today that we can come boldly into your presence, confess our sins before you, and that you are such a faithful, faithful, faithful God. He wants to forgive us of our sins. And not only forgive us, Lord, we need to be cleansed. We need to be freed of the fears and the doubt and the unbelief and the slighted vision and the inability to hear and see you. And I confess today that you are God who wants to open my ears to hear. You are God that wants to open my ears and my eyes to see. I confess, Lord, that your word is true and every man's a liar. I thank you, beloved. I thank you for your blood today that was shed to cleanse. We need the cleansing, Lord. We need the purging of your blood. Jesus, you are the true bread. And we thank you that as we yield our own carnal nature for the Spirit of God to deal with it, that you will give us your nature, Lord Jesus. The divine exchange today. That you will put in the place of where we were, you put your joy, Lord. That we will grow from joy to joy, from joy to joy. That truly we will come to the goal. The goal is being overflowing and full. Lord, I today ask, don't stop in my life till I'm full of joy. And I thank you for that. I praise you for that, Lord. I praise you for that. Church, let's thank him. Lord, we thank you. We praise you that you are God who is hearing us today. You're God who sees where we're sitting. You know our circumstances and situations. I thank you that you are a God who's able with your right hand to bring victory where we have only seen defeat. We praise you, Lord. Church, praise him. Thank you, beloved. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Righteous is our God. Holy is our God. I open the altars this morning, and then I'll dismiss those that need a messenger to help you see situation where you've lost your God and you can't see, or you've lost hearing and you need to hear. He wants to talk to you, and he'll send you a messenger. Jesus Christ is the messenger. So I open the altars for those who want to come and seek your God. And then, Lord, I just thank the blessing on this congregation. Thank you, Lord, that you are in charge of each person here. You know our comings and our goings, Lord. We're not a surprise to you, even though we're a surprise to ourselves. You're not surprised. And Lord, I just pray a blessing on this congregation. May they go in your grace, in your peace, and in your joy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I just release you, congregation, and I ask you to leave quickly and just speak outside so the altars will be here for ministry. Those who just would like to stay and pray.